It's been 25 years since the Ruby Ridge siege in northern Idaho. Randy Weaver and his family faced off with federal agents in a shocking standoff on a mountaintop not far from Bonner's Ferry. The siege began on August 21, 1992, and lasted 11 days. In the end, Weaver and a friend were shot and injured, and three people were dead, including Weaver's wife and young son, and a federal agent. Moreover, the incident became a rallying cry for those who felt law enforcement had overstepped its bounds. A new documentary titled Ruby Ridge airs Tuesday night on American Experience on Idaho Public Television. The documentary uses eyewitness interviews with Weaver's daughter, federal agents, and reporters like Bill Moreland who were there. Moreland worked for more than 30 years for the Spokane Chronicle and the Spokesman Review. He reported on extremist groups, including the Aryan Nations in North Idaho. Weaver was accused of making two illegal sawed-off shotguns. Moreland told Samantha Wright he started covering the case a few months before the siege began.
Yeah, I mean, you've got a fugitive who at that point in time had been on the lam for well over a year. And so my sources in the federal government, I became aware that they were actively trying to figure out a way to, how do we arrest this guy peacefully without loss of life? Of course, the only way to get to take a picture of this was to rent a plane in Spokane, and we flew over the cabin, which is, and the picture speaks a thousand words. I mean, it's a tiny little cabin on a mountaintop, probably at about the 4,500-foot level, I believe, and, you know, surrounded by national forest and, you know, heavy trees in the kind of the wilds of North Idaho. It's in pretty remote country, and, you know, grizzly bears, caribou, that kind of thing, and it's certainly off the grid.
And you covered this as it went on. What were you feeling and experiencing when this was happening back in 1992?
Well, after that early story that we wrote, you know, I knew that federal authorities weren't going to give up. And just because they had a man who was refusing to come down, I knew that they were continuing to work on it. And sources assured me that was the case. So then when August rolled around, the local scanner traffic indicated the local sheriffs up there in Boundary and Bonner County were just excited with the fact that a federal agent had been fatally shot. And whenever an officer is shot, law enforcement, as would be expected, kind of goes into a tizzy, and, you know, it's all hands on board. And so once we heard that that was occurring, we again rented an airplane and flew back to Ruby Ridge, which was my second airplane trip over it. And that was on Friday, August 21st. I was in the back seat holding the window open so the photographer from the newspaper in the front right seat could shoot pictures on the ground. We couldn't see much. We could see the cabin, and we could see some light bars from two or three cars, you know, on the ground down there, but we couldn't really tell what, you know, what was going on. But I had an earbug in my ear with a local scanner, and in the other ear I had the mouthpiece and the earplug to the pilot. And at some point, some scanner traffic suggested shots were being fired at the airplane. At that point, I advised the pilot that we needed to hightail it out of there. The photographer had some photographs, so we got out of there, and in such a very short matter of time, federal authorities closed the airspace. So the Spokesman Review, fortunately, came away with the only aerial photographs of Ruby Ridge, as the whole thing began to unfold there on August 21st, 1992.
Jump ahead to now, 25 years after the fact. What can we take away from what happened? What did you take away 25 years later?
Well, it clearly is an American tragedy. Obviously, federal agencies made mistakes. There were officials of the FBI who were demoted. I believe a couple were even fired because of their decisions in the way this thing was handled. But at the same time, you have to, I think about how did this all come about. And it all came about because of the Aryan Nations. If Randy Weaver hadn't gone to the Aryan Nations and attended a few meetings. He never officially, I guess, became a member, but he showed up down there. So undercover federal operatives there at the Aryan Nations became aware of him, and they were tracking people that were attending the Aryan Nations because many of the people that had gone to the Aryan Nations in the 1980s turned out to be some really radical extremist criminals. They, assassinated a Jewish talk show host in Denver. They robbed armored cars. They committed murders. They printed counterfeit money, a whole variety of crimes all over the United States. And so federal agents had every reason to keep track of who was there. So I guess in hindsight, I believe if Randy Weaver had never gone to the Aryan Nations, federal authorities may very well have never heard about him. And then faced with the fact that he was now in a mountaintop cabin refusing to come down, a federal judge in Boise issues a bench warrant, and the federal judge orders the Marshal Service to go arrest this man. And we are a country of laws. I mean, even 25 years later, we're a country of laws. And if a federal judge, you know, issues an order, it's a federal judge. And I guess I'm of the opinion that when federal judges, they're part of our a system of checks and balances. So the marshals that were up there were following orders from a federal judge, from a federal court in Boise. So, yes, is it a tragedy? A 12-year-old boy died. His mother died. A federal agent died. FBI agents were demoted, and it became a tragedy in every sense of the word. And it, you know, played right out in our backyard.
Reporter Bill Moreland tells more of his story in the new American Experience documentary, Ruby Ridge, which airs Tuesday night at 9 on Idaho Public Television. You can see one of the aerial photographs Moreland talks about at our website, boisestatepublicradio.org.